I'm going to get comfortable here for a minute. It's a little bit warm in the building tonight. The sun is shining, and I'm thankful for that. I was telling my wife yesterday that I don't know that I've ever seen so many people outside before. I think as a country that, and we're in the Northwest where people like to get outdoors. Supposedly we're more outdoorsy than other people. And our climate is such out here that we can be outdoors. But I feel like as a country, as a region, that we've gotten hooked on entertainment, whether it be movies, TV shows. I mean, people talk about TV shows nowadays that I've never even heard of. I mean, you go to Netflix and you can scroll for hours on TV shows that are produced, whether it's Netflix owns them or Amazon owns them or this channel owns them or this channel owns that. It's everywhere. And so people get so sucked into that stuff. And we use the term binge watching. And so I think as Americans, we have gotten sucked into this lifestyle of coming home from work, sitting down, vegging out. And so for the first couple of weeks, I think people vegged pretty hard. And now they've vegged themselves out, literally. And I live just a couple of blocks off the Ording Trail. I drive by it two or three times a day, and it's full. It's full of people. And the crazy thing is they've got the parking lots to it closed off. And so people are just parking along the side of the road and just getting on the trail, and they just want to be outside. If you go through a walk in your neighborhood, all you see is people. People have gotten outside. I think it's a great opportunity. I'm seeing people outside in my neighborhood that I've never seen, didn't know what they look like. And I'm driving by now and seeing, that's who lives there. And so I think it's a great opportunity to reach out to people, to say hello to your neighbors. And we talked a little bit about that on Sunday. And I want to share this too. Coming out of Sunday, my wife was telling me, I think it was last night, she said, I forgot to tell you this, but Sunday when we began to sing that song, Spirit Break Out, she said that we hadn't planned to sing that song, as you know. And she said, when I began to sing that, she said, I saw a vision of the Spirit of God breaking out of homes. And I saw different individuals in the church standing in their homes praising God, their hands raised, and their neighbors hearing them, and the Spirit of God breaking out of their homes and into their neighborhoods. And she said, then you got off the drums and you went down there and you began to say the exact same thing. I told her, I felt so much witness in that. I believe that God is doing great things. As the song says, even when I don't see it, you're working. And there are things that maybe we can't see with our natural eye right now, but in the Spirit. Hear me, if you can see in the Spirit what's going on behind the scenes right now, only God knows that, and He's in control of all of it. And so we trust Him with that tonight. We do our part. We participate in ministry. We participate in worship. And then He does the rest. I mentioned earlier today that at the request of Bishop, I was going to be talking about how to pray people through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. And I will tell you, this is one of my favorite subjects, the thing I love to talk about the most. I think it's probably one of the most critical things to harvest in the New Testament church, in the modern day church. There are many men among us who have, and I say this, many men among us in Life Church, who have taught things like this. If you go and look on the website and you get back into the archives, you'll find that Brother Berglund at one time talked about the midwife ministry and the spiritual midwife. You can go find it, watch it, listen to it. Powerful stuff. And so this is something that the things that I'm going to talk about tonight are at the core of Life Church. This is who we are. And I think I put a little caveat in there today when I announced this, that the things that I'm going to talk about tonight aren't, this isn't an altar working seminar. I think it's critical to differentiate that. This isn't an altar working seminar, because I will tell you that some of the things we do in church altars would probably be a little awkward to do at Walmart. Now, you can if you want. I mean, if you want to try it at Walmart, that's fine. That's between you and the Holy Ghost. If the Lord tells you to put your hands on somebody's head and rock them back and forth for an hour and a half all across the front of Walmart, then so be it. Do it in Jesus' name. God, I'm sure God will honor your faith and fill them with the Holy Ghost. But there are times and places for things, and there are times that God chooses to move in certain ways, but there are often times we find ourselves in situations where maybe it's a quiet situation. Maybe it's in an office. Maybe it's in somebody's front room. Maybe you're in a place, God puts you in a place in a country where you can't pray out loud. So how in the world are you going to have this exuberant, over-the-top shouting, jumping, somebody screaming in tongues when they're afraid of even being found out, and maybe they're just praying at a whisper? The things that I'm going to share with you tonight are scripturally based. I will tell you at the outset that the principles are not original to me. These principles were taught to me, but I will tell you that the testimonies that I'm going to share with you tonight, and the things that I believe the Holy Ghost would have me to share with you tonight through these principles, are 100% mine. The Holy Ghost imparted these things to me through a man of God who taught these things, and I just took them and made them my own. And I'll tell you a little bit about how I got there. Some of you have heard that before. I'm going to say it again for all of those who've never heard it. going back, again, I'm sorry for any repetitiveness in this. You just have to bear through. If there's parts of this you've heard, bear with me. There's probably parts you haven't heard. But I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I was 4 years old. I received it during a revival service with an evangelist by the name of Sister Loretta Smalley. And she ministered that night and prayed me through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost at 4 years old. Now, that's something that I've repeated my entire life, and I remember as a young man, and even as a young boy, and into my early teens, mid-teens, late teens, you know, people would say, how long have you had the Holy Ghost? Well, I've had the Holy Ghost for 13 years. What? How old are you? I'm 17. I got the Holy Ghost when I was 4. Oh my goodness, you got the Holy Ghost when you was 4 as though I was some prodigy. And there's probably something to that, but bear with me here for a second. So I can still see the location in my mind. I know where it was at. It was in the garage of a house. It was a home missions church. We were meeting in a garage for this revival midweek, and then on Sundays we met in a Grange Hall. But we're in a garage with a little bench up at the front that was an altar. And I remember praying at that bench, but I don't remember. I cannot tell you anything about that night. I don't remember it. And here's the challenge with that, and here's the challenge that I lived with for about 20, let's just call it 23 years. This is the challenge that I lived with that maybe you will identify with as a believer. Because I didn't remember that night, and I was told, you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it put me in this place of not knowing how I received the Holy Ghost. Here's the challenge with that, in case you're thinking, well, what's wrong with that? If you don't know how you received the Holy Ghost, then how can you tell or be a midwife to someone else who's trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And so here's what this produced in my life. Being from a small church and being involved in ministry all my life, from the youngest of ages, you know, one of the things that I loved about my dad growing up as my pastor is that nobody sat on the sidelines in the kingdom. Nobody, there were no bench warmers. We had no bench in our church. Nobody was sitting on the bench waiting to get in. Everybody was in all the time. And so it was nothing at, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. If somebody needed the Holy Ghost in the altar call, you know, dad was, get over here, pray for somebody. Get over here, pray for somebody. So I prayed for all kinds of people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost for many years throughout my life. I remember one specific individual that we prayed with him to receive the Holy Ghost for a good 2 or 3 years. I remember I remember going to a Holy Ghost crusade in Portland, Oregon, sometime in the late, maybe like 1997, 1998, somewhere in that range. Went to that Holy Ghost crusade. I believe it was Brother Cunningham that preached it. And of course, you know, I had gone through several altar working seminars prior to that. And so I knew how to pray people through the Holy Ghost. I was trained up. I had a certification card that was signed by the teacher. I'm joking, but you know what? You get what I'm saying. Like, I was well versed in this. And I would go to these crusades and they'd say, get in front of one person and find that person. And boy, I dreaded that. Because the people that I prayed for never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father, forgive me. It just made for a really long night. It was forever. Because they didn't stop praying. You know, they're there to get it. They were just told, you're going to get it. And they've got this guy standing in front of them who's praying for them who doesn't know how to help them receive something. You see the challenge in that? So I went to Bible school. Because if you can't get certified to pray somebody through the Holy Ghost in a normal life, well, then if you go to Bible school, at least you'll come out with a certificate saying that you got set through classes telling you how to do it. We had a Holy Ghost crusade in one of my college classes. This college class was called Personal Evangelism. It was taught by Brother Arnold Mangus in Missouri, the state of Missouri. He pastors, I think, in Festus, Missouri or somewhere. He came in and taught a personal evangelism class. And at the end of the class, he said, we're going to have a Holy Ghost crusade. And we're going to go downtown St. Louis. And we're going to go and pass out tracts. And we're going to invite everybody to this little home missions church that had just started. Brother Daniel Blash just started a home missions church. He says, we're going to go to Brother Blash's church. And we're going to have a Holy Ghost crusade. And all you guys are going to practice everything you learned. And so we had another altar working seminar. And I sat through it. I got another certification card. You know, I'm a pro now. I'm a pro account. And we had this thing, and I prayed for all kinds of people, and nobody got the Holy Ghost. Got out of Bible school, came home from Bible school, still praying for people. I would go places and get invited to minister, and I'd go pray for people. This person needs the Holy Ghost, and I'd pray for them, and I'd put my hands on people's head, and I'd say things, yes, yes, come on, yes, that's it, that's it, that's it, hallelujah, hallelujah, yes, 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 yes. And I don't even know what that means. Yes, what? But this is what I was taught. This is what I had observed. And God bless all the certified teachers who taught the certified altar working seminars I sat through. But what I learned in the altar working seminars, you know, have some breath mints. Don't spit in people's faces, you know. Lead them to repentance. What I didn't understand then that I understand now is that it's a very, very simple process to leading somebody to a place of receiving, that's it, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's a term that we throw around a lot called seeking. They're seeking the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? We just read a portion of Scripture on Sunday, in teaching on Sunday in Acts chapter 16, that Paul said, if you seek after the Lord, that you'll find him because he's not very far from every one of us. So what about these people who seek for 20 years? Is God a long ways away from him? He's hiding from them? Is that what it is? It's the world's longest game of hide and seek between God and the seeker. And so, you know, I've gone places and they've told me, oh, this is dear brother so-and-so. He's seeking the Holy Ghost. How long's he been seeking? Well, he's been here about 20 years. There's a problem. I'm going to say this with as much love and respect as the Holy Ghost allows me to say this with. I'm convinced that some people among us get the Holy Ghost by accident. And you'll say, how is that even possible? Because we haven't done our job as the midwife, Brother Berglund. We haven't done our job to educate them on what's about to happen. I'm not a midwife. I'm not even a doula, but I've lived through three childbirths. And in every single one of them, the nurses who were acting as the midwife instructed my wife on everything that was going to happen. Here's what's going to happen now. Here's what's going to happen now. Here's what I need you to do now. Here's what's happening now. Okay, thank you. You're doing a great job. There was instruction all the way through it. Me yelling, yes, yes, say it again, yes, hallelujah, that's it. That's what? These poor people. And then, you know, I've been in conventions and different things where you get two or three young people that are just passionate about this, and they've got this one friend who's going to get the Holy Ghost, and the poor kid, he started with a three-piece suit with the vest and the tie and shirt tucked in, and he started on that side of the platform or the altar, and by the end of the night, he's all the way over there, and he has no suit coat on, his shirt's untucked, his tie's gone, he's sweated through his hair, and he's going, la, 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 la. The poor kid's been worked to death. And how do you think he leaves, or how do you think he feels leaving that night when he walks out of whatever facility he was in, and they're like, keep praying, brother. Keep seeking, brother. You just pray harder next time. The poor kid, he's barely got any clothes left on. We've prayed him out of his clothes, and he still doesn't have it. Pray harder next time. I'm convinced. I have, in my lifetime, came across a few different people. I can see one young man's face in my mind right now. I don't know his first name, but I know his last name. That young man was probably 5 to 10 years older than me growing up. We grew up in the same area. Every single youth camp and every single family camp for my entire life, that young man, every time they made a plea to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, came to the front to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He went to a good church. He had great parents, raised in church, and had been in church for probably the last time I saw him, 25 plus years, and was still seeking, quote unquote, to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe, this is personal here, I believe that at some point he probably received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but some well-meaning person didn't hear him and was too caught up in their own victory shout or whatever was going on around them, or it was so noisy because we were having a shout-down service, right, like 6 feet away. We had Brother Kendrick pumping 600 decibels through those JBLs while someone was trying to listen to a young man quietly praying and seeking God and praying in the Holy Ghost, and they're like, maybe next time, brother. And he's like, well, you know, something happened tonight that was really powerful, but I guess that wasn't it because they said I didn't get it. And those people, in my experience, will rarely ever go back to that place of prayer because that wasn't it, right? I want you to think about right now, every person in your life that you know of who sought the Holy Ghost for years and couldn't get it. Think about it. Think about the nights they passionately prayed in an altar. Maybe you prayed with them and they didn't receive the Holy Ghost. Did God not love them? Was something wrong with them? The things that we're going to talk about tonight, that we're going to get into in this lesson, will, I believe, set a stage that if you enact these things and begin to put these things into practice in your everyday life, when you come into contact with these types of people, you come into contact with someone who needs to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and is ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when you walk away from them, they will either have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost or agreed with you that they're not ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we'll get into some of that. But let me finish this. So I go all through these years. I'm now into my mid-20s. Still haven't prayed with anyone to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I haven't prayed with someone to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so a few years goes by, and we're in a manifest meeting. I think that's what we were calling it at the time. in Wapato, the old building in Wapato. And we'd had a powerful meeting, and it was decided that on Friday night, we were going to have a Holy Ghost crusade. And we were going to, they were going to go to the jail next door. I don't know if those of you who remember that, they were going to go to the jail next door, and they were going to bring some guys over. And we went out. I think we maybe have invited some people, invited friends and family. And I remember the building was pretty full that night. And we were going to have a Holy Ghost crusade. So that afternoon, before they cut us loose to get ready for the Holy Ghost crusade, Bishop said, you know, Brother Wright has done a session in the past on how to pray people through to the Holy Ghost. And I've asked him to take a few minutes and just share that with us before we leave today. I will tell you that I think it was maybe only a 50-minute session, if you can believe that. Bishop Wright was a 50-minute session. I think it was only one CD. That one session has impacted my life maybe as much or more than any other session I've ever sat through of ministry. I'll never forget it. I remember sitting there and listening to his stories. I cannot tell you how many times I've listened to that recording just to refresh myself. I just want to hear it because it impacted me so greatly. It changed my perspective. For the first time, I got an understanding of what it meant to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, there's something else connected to this that this is important to understand. You've heard me tell the story in the past that it was in August of 2004 that for the first time I received ministry and understanding from the scriptures on praying in the Spirit and spending time daily praying in the Spirit and going from praying with your understanding during your prayer time for 60 or 70 minutes or however long you can string together, maybe like 6 or 7 minutes for some, to praying in the Spirit until God releases you. You've heard that testimony. These two things are connected. If you struggle with praying in the Spirit, if you don't have a liberty to pray in the Spirit, it's probably because you don't have an understanding of how it is that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when we get done here tonight, there's some of you, I can imagine some of you are thinking, you're crazy. These two things are disconnected. No, they're connected. They're absolutely connected. And the Lord showed me about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, how connected they really were. When you get an understanding of how it is that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the process of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it changes how you pray. Many people believe this is how it changes. Many people believe that you've got to work up into a place. You got to say enough hallelujahs, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, hallelujah, 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 praise God, hallelujah. And you come into the presence of God. You know, if you've ever used one of them prayer wheels, you got to come in with praise. Hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. And you got to pray in English for 35 minutes, get yourself primed up, warmed up, get the oil pumping, and then you can slip into some spiritual prayer, praying in the Spirit. And that's how a lot of people pray. That's how a lot of people believe that you could pray. And so because that's how they received the Holy Ghost. I remember trying to, the good thing is because you're not sitting here tonight, it's just me and Brother Kendrick, I can go as long as I want. I can go as long as the Holy Ghost gives me liberty to go because I don't got to worry about anybody. We got to rush home and go to bed. We got to get the kids in bed for school tomorrow. In case you missed it, there isn't any more school this year. So we may go all night. Who knows? This might be a 2-CD year. As I begin to seek after this, as I begin to put this into practice in my own life, as I begin to allow these principles to change me, it changed how I prayed. And you know, this idea of getting people to repeat things and say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. They say it really fast, really long, really fast, and then they start getting tongue-tied. And maybe they said something, maybe they didn't. And this is what we did. This is how we did it. And these are the things that we that became a part of us and a part of our DNA. And so it was in this session that night, after this session that night, that we went into that meeting. It was my dad actually preached that night, and I still remember the message that he preached. He brought a purse, and he held the purse up, and he said, this purse is a free gift. If you want it, you can come get it. And a bunch of people sat there in the chairs like it was a joke. And I remember somebody got up, some precious lady of God got up and walked up and took that purse from me. He said, just like she did, the faith that she had to get out of that chair and walk up here and take this purse out of my hands is as easy as to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was it. That was basically what he preached that night. And so then he gave an altar call. And, you know, we didn't have the whole, you know, I don't remember us doing the one person in front of another and everybody's got to have somebody in front of them. We just said, if you want the Holy Ghost, come up to the front. And I got to tell you, I was a little bit leery. I was a little bit gun shy. I had so much failure in my life. So many people that I had prayed for. It was a roll of the dice. And so I thought, well, here we go. I mean, I've never tried this stuff that Bishop Wright talked about. So maybe I'll just try it again. One last time. And I remember feeling such faith that night. And I walked up. I remember there was somebody standing at the front. I don't even remember who it was. But I remember walking up onto the stairs. That platform in Wapato had stairs. Maybe two or three, four stairs. And I remember walking up on them stairs, turning around to the person in front of me. And when they told us to begin to pray, I began to talk to that man. And I began to put the principles into practice that we're going to talk about tonight. And within minutes, he began to pray in the Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Within minutes. And I was like, oh my. It had to be the room. It's because Bishop Wright was here. That's what it was. And I looked over. And I remember off to my right-hand side, on the left-hand side of the Wapato building, Bishop Wright was praying for a man that we had brought out of the jail. He was still wearing his jumpsuit. I think it was an orange or blue jumpsuit or something. He was still wearing his jumpsuit, and he was sitting in a chair. And Bishop Wright was down on one knee talking to this man, and I watched a prisoner who probably for the first time was in the presence of God like that, had maybe received some Bible studies in jail, and for the first time was in that type of setting, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in less than 5 minutes. At that moment, I knew something had changed. Something had changed in the atmosphere for me, and I wasn't going backwards. I went and found somebody else to pray with. God filled them with the Holy Ghost in just a few minutes. I was like, wow, this is something else. From that day forward, I left that meeting. I think that meeting was in June. I left that meeting and I went to a youth camp. My wife and I were involved as camp counselors at a youth camp that year. And went to camp, and every night service, the man of God that was preaching would make an appeal. If you're here tonight and you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can receive it. And I remember that week that there were probably somewhere between 12 and 14 kids who on the first night raised their hand that needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, these were kids that ranged from 12 years old to 18 years old, and they were kind of mixed in between there. But I remember the very first night. Now, again, I haven't prayed with anybody since to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm a month or two removed from that night. And I remember the first night walking around the altar praying, and I saw a young man who had raised his hand and he did the Holy Ghost. He was probably, at best, maybe 14 years old. But I saw him with his hands lifted, and there were tears streaming down his face. And he had a kid on each side, and one was yanking this way, and one was yanking this way. And they were jumping, and they were excited, and he just crying. And I remember walking up to him, putting my hands on his shoulders. I asked somebody what his name was. They told me. I called his name out. And I began to have a simple conversation with him. I began to talk to him about some things. And within a couple of minutes, God filled him with a glorious gift of the Holy Ghost. And he began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And I was floored. You got to understand, when you've gone 20-some years with praying for people and witnessing people being prayed for and not seeing them receive the Holy Ghost and being frustrated and not knowing what's going on, and all of a sudden, it's like within minutes, God is filling people with the Holy Ghost every time you turn around. You got to understand, this isn't about a person. There's no magic potion. Paul rebuked that in the New Testament. I just read it today when Simon the sorcerer tried to buy the ability to fill people with the Holy Ghost with money. Paul said, this isn't, you're foolish. You can't buy this. This is a gift that people receive. My job is just to help the person who's ready to receive know how to receive it. And since that night, that youth camp night, that week, every night of youth camp, I prayed with somebody to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. By the end of that week, I think just about every kid who came to camp needing the Holy Ghost had the Holy Ghost. And what was my favorite part about the whole thing is that there were kids, there were young people around. I remember one such young person. On the last night, I came up to a young man he was praying with. And he was a passionate young man, and I put my arm around him, the young man that was praying for this kid to receive the Holy Ghost. I put my arm around him. I said, hey, what's this kid's name? He told me. I stopped him. I said, hey, stop just one second. I want to talk to you. This is important. When we get into these principles tonight, this is important. Don't just go jump into the middle of somebody praying for the Holy Ghost. You don't know what their history is. You don't know what's going on. Be sensitive. Don't just walk up and start shaking people and pushing people and yes, 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 yes. Be sensitive. And I stopped him. Now that's like the no-no. If you want to get a dirty look in an apostolic church, just walk into a den, a horde of people marching, pushing some person around, saying hallelujah 5,500 times, praying for the Holy Ghost, and say, hey, stop for a second, stop for a second. I want to talk to you. I'm telling you, this has happened to me in the last few months. People just, they disappear. It's like grass off a sinking ship. They're gone. Like, hold on. I thought we were here to pray through the Holy Ghost. They're just looking for, hear me. Just looking for something to, I'm going to be involved in something. Someone's going to get the Holy Ghost. Stop. Slow down. Let the Holy Ghost use you to minister to somebody. Praying people through to the Holy Ghost is a ministry. Everybody in the church ought to be doing it. It ought to be the number one ministry that's activated in the apostolic church in the end times is believers praying people through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, helping people to receive the gift that God promised to give them. That's our job. That's what we should be doing. And so I remember I came up, I put my arm around this young man and I asked him this kid's name. He told me and I said, now listen, I want to talk to you guys together. And I began to share the things that I'm going to share tonight. And when we got done, that young kid lifted his hands again and God filled him with the Holy Ghost in just a few moments of time. Now, it was about a year later that I saw the young man, not the young man who received the Holy Ghost, but the young man that was praying with him. I saw him at a meeting. And he came up to me and he shook my hand. He says, do you remember me? And I said, yes, I remember you. How are you doing? He goes, man, I got to tell you something. He said, I don't know if you remember that last night of youth camp last year. You came up and you put your arm around me and you began to tell that young man some things that he needed to do if he wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost that night. He said, I am telling you, I had never heard those things before, but I want to tell you the impact that they had on my life. He said, I left that meeting. I went back home. I went back to school, and I began to teach a young Muslim kid at my school a Bible study, and he said, within a couple of weeks, I had prayed him through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the school cafeteria during lunchtime. I'm telling you that I mean what I say when I say that if you will begin to put these things into practice, God is going to use you to pray people through the Holy Ghost anywhere. We've got to rid ourselves of this idea that I've got to have the right song. If I can get the right song playing and I can get the right beat playing and I can get all these things perfect, that somehow the Holy Ghost cloud is going to dump on everybody who's in the 35th coordinate north of the 36th coordinate of the front row. That's not how it works. This is a free gift. So let's jump into some of these things tonight. There's five things. Get your pen and paper out because you need to write this down. There are five things. Write it down in your Bible. Write it down in your favorite journal. Write it down somewhere where you can go back and find it, because every now and then, if you don't use this all the time, every now and then you lose it. I forget. I've got it written down and I go back and I find it and I read through it again, because you know what happens? This happened a couple months ago. I think it was at the Life Church United in Yakima. Brother Flowers brought somebody over to me and said, hey, this person wants to receive the Holy Ghost. And I was thinking, okay, let's see here. If you don't remind yourself and let the Holy Ghost stir this up within you every now and then, you just forget. I believe that the church is entering into a time where this is going to be in use all the time. Stay fresh with it. Let it be stirred up within you every day. So the five reasons, if somebody's been praying for the Holy Ghost for a few moments of time, and let's say I come up into the middle of them, or if somebody just comes and gets me and says, so-and-so wants to receive the Holy Ghost, these are five things, they're absolutes that I will go through before they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The first one, and probably one of the most important ones, is repentance. If I'm in a service and I see somebody over here praying for the Holy Ghost, and generally, you know, I try to wait on the Lord about who I'm supposed to pray for. I don't just walk around an altar call just laying hands on everybody. Hear me for a second here. Let the Lord lead you who to pray for in an altar call. Don't just walk around. There are times where I feel liberty to go just pray. As many people I can get my hands on, I pray for. But then there are other times I'm waiting on the Lord. Father, who do you want me to pray for tonight? Who is it? Who are you leading me to? Who are you wanting to minister to through me tonight? Be sensitive to that. And so I'll wait on the Lord. And if the Lord illuminates somebody to me, maybe I'll watch somebody pray for a while, and I'll wait on the Lord until I get a release, and then I'll walk over and pray for them. But when I walk over there, I'll generally not get involved. I'm not going to butt in for a while. I'm just going to wait. I'll stand there and I'll pray with them. I'll pray in the Holy Ghost, and I'm just feeling. Am I feeling hunger? I was in a meeting. This is important. This is really, really important. I was in a meeting a couple years ago, and it was a good meeting. We were in a worship service. The power of God began to move. People began to worship, and some people moved down to the front, began to pray. A few people began to lay hands on other people, and the power of God began to move upon them. And I saw a young man head to the front with a group of men. And this guy, I don't think he'd ever seen an apostolic church before. I think this was his first experience in an apostolic church. He looked like he'd been scared straight. And they come marching him down there. And so I watched this procession head down there. And I watched somebody grab this dude by his arms and fling him to the top. And, you know, and I watched them. And, you know, he hung his head down like this, you know, like doing the thing that he knew to do. And I watched them scream at him. And, yeah, you didn't tell God, blah, blah, blah. And whatever they were saying, I could just see the spit flying in the lights. Just, blah, 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 blah. This guy's just stone cold, just. So I watched that go on for a few minutes, and I don't know if it was the flesh or the spirit. I'm not sure which one, but finally I moved down there so that I was in the company of them, and I got into the throes. You know, I was doing this and moving around with them while this guy's just, you know, still stone-faced, mouth's not moving. And I'm praying, I'm waiting on the Lord. Okay, what's going on here? I'm feeling after the Lord for him. And I realized within about 30 seconds of being down there, this dude had no interest in receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I stopped him. I said, hey, hold on just one second. I said, what's your name? I didn't really know the people that were praying with him. I said, what's your name? He told me. I stuck my hand out. I said, I'm Nick. Nice to meet you, man. I said, have you ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Nope. I said, do you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? He said, nope. I said, hey, you have a good night, man. I'm glad you're here. Enjoy the rest of this service. And I turned around, walked off, and so did everyone else. Be sensitive. The minute I walked up, what I felt coming off of him was that he was confused. He didn't know what was going on. He wasn't ready for this. And yet we were pushing him all over the place. Now, you're going to say, well, Brother Johnstone, you know, God could have filled him with the Holy Ghost. Yes, he could have, but he wasn't. So when I come into a situation, I'm waiting. I'm feeling after the Lord. And the first thing that I'm going to do when I walk into a situation, whether you've been praying 2 hours or 2 seconds, is I'm going to stop you. I'm going to bring the whole thing to a stop. Stop, 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 stop. Hold on. I'm going to look somebody in the eye. Have you repented of your sins? Usually I hear, yes. Okay, that's great. You know what? I'm feeling like I just want to make sure I'm clean. Can we pray together and repent again right now? Yeah, that'd be fine. And I begin to pray a prayer of repentance for me. I ask them, you repent for you. I'm going to repent for me right now. and we'll go through this. And I'm asking the Lord to forgive me. I'm not praying for them. I'm not leading them in the sinner's prayer. I'm not saying, repeat after me, our Father which art in heaven, please forgive my sins. No, no, no. If you do that, that's fine. If that's what the Holy Ghost leads you to do. But that's not what I do. I repent for me. I'm asking forgiveness for my sins. I'm asking the Lord to cleanse me and wash me and make me pure and holy before him. And most of the time I hear them start saying those same things. Some of these people don't know how to pray. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to show them how to pray. This is how you repent. And so we get done repenting. And then, you know, immediately I just go right into, in the name of Jesus, and knock them to the floor. No, 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 no. Once we repent, we stop. All right, doesn't that feel good? Repented, got some things under the blood, or we've got some things out there. They're not under the blood until they go to the waters of baptism. But we've confessed some things before God. We've put them out there. Doesn't that feel good? Yeah, that feels good. All right, now, here's what's next. Do you believe? This is a question for them. Do you believe that God is going to give you the Holy Ghost right now? And if the answer is anything other than yes, if the answer is yes, then you go to step three. If the answer is, I think so, I'm not sure, you need to stop and have a Bible study. This is why it's challenging to pray people through to the Holy Ghost in a church service. Now, I've done it plenty. Seen it happen. I was screaming at them and they were screaming at me. Not because we were mad at each other, because we couldn't hear over the music. I prefer praying people through the Holy Ghost in very quiet settings where I can talk to them like this in a normal voice. Have you repented of your sins? You haven't? All right, let's pray a prayer of repentance right now. Father, we come before you. I'm not spitting in their face. I'm not preaching at them. And then when I ask them, do you believe that God is going to give you the Holy Ghost right now? Well, I'm not sure. Okay, here, let me get your Bible over here. I want to talk to you about the Holy Ghost. Do you see why this is challenging to do in a church service? There's a Bible study. If somebody doesn't know whether or not God's going to give them the Holy Ghost, it's going to be challenging for them to receive the Holy Ghost in the next few moments of time while you're praying for them. That's why it's important that you understand this, that you got to know where they're at. If they don't have the faith to receive, this is like, here's the analogy of this. If you woke up on Christmas morning and you came downstairs and there were gifts all over the room with your name on them, and your mom and dad said, are you ready to open them? Well, I'm not sure. No, not right now. Well, there's something wrong with you. Or you just don't understand that this is a gift for you. We bought these for you. And it's no different with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He gave his life for you. He was crucified, dead and buried for you. This is a gift that he wants to give you. You just have to have the faith to receive it. The same faith that it takes to walk over and pick up that present off the floor with your name on it, unwrap it and see what's inside. The Holy Ghost is a gift and it takes faith to receive it. And so if that person who's came to the altar, whether they were coerced or convinced or out of desire or hunger, came to the altar to pray and they don't have the faith to believe that they can receive the Holy Ghost, it doesn't mean that they can't receive it that night. It just means you got to take 2 minutes there, Speedy, and teach them a little Bible study. You know, in just a couple of moments of time, you can share with someone the Word of God, and it makes an impact. I can ramble on and tell you how great the Holy Ghost is, but I can quote to you a few scriptures, and the Bible says that the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, it pierces even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, it's a discerner of the thoughts, the intents of the heart. I can quote a couple of scriptures. Did you know that in the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter said to them, repent. You just repented. He told them to be baptized in Jesus' name. You can do that before you leave tonight. And that they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Did you know that he said, it's a promise. The promise is unto you. It's a promise. Has anyone ever made you a promise before? Yes, they have. The promise is unto you. God promised you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Are you ready to receive it? yes, I'm ready to receive it. Now, generally, in these types of settings, somebody's feeling the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is all over them. So I'm asking them, are you believing? Do you believe? Do you have faith to believe that God is going to fill you with the Holy Ghost right now? Let me leave you this scripture. Acts 2:38 for repentance. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's for point number one, Acts 2:38. Acts 2:39 is for point number two. The promises unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So if I've got somebody to that place, they've repented, and they've got the faith to receive it, I'm going to tell them to lift their hands. I'm not going to touch them yet. I'm going to tell them to lift their hands, and I'm going to tell them just to begin to worship God. I want you in your own words to begin to tell God how much you love Him. I want you to begin to tell God how much you adore Him, that you worship Him, and that you give Him the glory in your life. And I'll just give Him a few things to say. This is how you praise God. And I want you just to begin to praise God. Now, here's the instruction I'm going to give them in that. As you begin to praise God, you see all these people around you. There's people weeping nearby you. You see people shaking around. And that's the power of the Holy Ghost. They're feeling the power of the Holy Ghost. You're feeling the Holy Ghost right now, aren't you? Yeah. Most of the time, here's the thing. Most of the time, they're feeling what you're feeling. And if you're feeling the Holy Ghost, they're feeling it too. In most of our meetings and most of our gatherings, whether it's a home Bible study, a home small home group, a service, whatever it is, the power of God is evident. There's no question. You can feel it everywhere. And if you're feeling it, they're feeling it. And you're affirming to them what you're feeling right now is the Holy Ghost. And so as you begin to worship God and you begin to tell God how much you love Him and you begin to say, hallelujah, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. As you begin to declare that, you're going to feel the Holy Ghost. And at some point, as you begin to say that, as you begin to worship Him, you're going to maybe become overwhelmed with emotion. You might feel like crying. You might feel like laughing. You may lose control of yourself. But that's nothing to be afraid of. That's the Holy Ghost. And in that process, as you begin to feel that, at some point, as you're speaking in English, because you're praying from right here, you're praying in English from right here, and you're thinking up words, hallelujah, I praise you, Jesus, I worship you, Jesus. At some point, you're going to begin to feel something from your innermost being that wants to come out of your mouth. And it's not going to make any sense to you. It's going to be words and phrases and syllables that you've never spoken before. And don't let them pass through here. You just got to let it out. We're going to read this scripture again, but I always love to quote the scripture from the book of John, I believe it is. It says, John chapter 7, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's not out of his brain. He didn't say out of his brain shall flow rivers of living water. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I got to say this. The biggest hindrance I see with most people who are A, they've repented, B, they're hungry, C, they're ready to receive the Holy Ghost. Most of the time, the biggest hindrance I see with those folks is that they're trying to let everything that they're feeling right here that's wanting to come out of their mouth pass through their head first. They're wanting it to go up here and come out, and it doesn't make sense, and it's weird, and they don't have the faith or they haven't released it, and so they're just like, they're holding back, and I mean, the power of God's all over them. I prayed for people who they were physically shaking and crying. They were under such presence of God that was so powerful, so tangible to them. I could feel it on them, but there was this hesitance. And so I'll explain all that to them. And then I'll begin to pray with them. I'll tell them to begin to worship. And I haven't touched them yet. My hands are on their head. I'll begin to talk to them. That's it. That's powerful. That's beautiful worship. I begin to coach them. I don't like using that word, but I don't know what other word to use. I begin to admonish them. Maybe it's a better word. I begin to admonish them. Yes, that's beautiful worship. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. You can feel Him right now. Just keep worshiping Him. Now, I'll let them go about 5 minutes praising God. And if they don't make the transition or something doesn't, there's something going on there, I'll stop them. And I'll say, did you feel that? When you begin to worship God, did you feel something change? Yeah, I did. I felt that too. I felt something change in you. I saw a visible difference in you. When you begin to lift up your voice and you begin to worship God there and you begin to tell God how much you loved him, I saw a visible change in your countenance. Something came over you. Did you feel that? I felt it. That's the Holy Ghost. You need to yield to that. Okay. Now I want you to lift your hands again right now. We're going to do that again. And I'll begin to admonish them. Yes, that's it. There's that feeling again. It's on you again. You can see it on you. And they're usually by that time they're crying, yes, I feel it. And takes me to point number 3. If somebody hasn't received the Holy Ghost after point number 2, I'll usually let them go 2 or 3 rounds of praise and worship. Maybe 10 minutes max. 10 minutes. I like 5 minutes. I'm telling you, don't drag this out. The longer you drag this out in an altar call, the more discouraged people get. This is why people never receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They get discouraged. Well, God doesn't love me. God's not for me. People say things to them like, well, tonight wasn't your night. Really, show me that in the Bible. It's not your night. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. This is your day. This is your hour. If you're ready to receive it, he's ready to give it to you right now. That's the faith that you have to have, is the person who's admonishing and praying with that person to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I only let them go maybe 5-6 minutes. Give them a couple rounds of worshiping, and then I'll stop them. If it's not happening, if they're not breaking free, I'll stop them. And here's the question that I ask. This is point number 3. Is there anything in your life that maybe God's dealt with you about that you're resistant to? Well, yeah. And sometimes without even asking, they'll blurt it right out. God's been dealing with me about my smoking. Oh, I didn't know you smoked. You just blurted that out. God's been dealing with me about this thing in my life. Oh, okay. All right. All right, you need to deal with that right now. Here's the scripture. Here's what the Bible says. In the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, the scripture says, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Yes, God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. Yes, God wants to fill you with his Spirit, but he also wants obedience. And if you're not willing to obey him, if there's something in your life that you're not addressing, that he's been convicting you about, and he's been trying to get you to deal with, and you're resistant to it? Let me tell you something. If you come across somebody who's been seeking the Holy Ghost for a while, I'm talking about some months, they've been coming to church for a few months and they haven't got the Holy Ghost yet, this is the first place I go. Don't go to the praising thing. Don't go to the repentance thing. I'll stop them praying, especially if there's somebody in Life Church who I've been around in and out of the congregation 2 or 3 times, and hey, what's going on? What's going on? And then you see him praying somewhere, and you go in and pray for him, and I'll go right up to him. I'll stop him praying and say, what's going on? What's God asking you to get out of your life that you're not dealing with? And I'm telling you, I have never, ever, ever had anybody say nothing. Never. It's never happened to me. Maybe it will in the future. Up to this date, no one's ever said, oh, there's nothing, absolutely nothing between me and God. Without fail, anytime I've ever asked that question, usually people break down and cry. God's really been dealing with me about this. All right, let's address it right now. Right now, let's fix it right now. Yield it to him. Lift your hands right now and commit it. Usually they're speaking in tongues within a few minutes. They just got the blockage out of the way. That thing that was between them and God, it's gone now. And there's such a liberty, and it doesn't even take any more admonishment. They just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Here's the thing. You've heard me say this before when I'm talking about prayer. I was raised in a church where there was very little praying in the Spirit, not like we do at Life Church. I didn't experience that. It's different at Life Church. Everybody's praying in the Spirit. I absolutely love praying for people to receive the Holy Ghost at Life Church. You know why? Because when I'm talking to somebody about this, I said, do you hear all these people around you praying in the Spirit? Yeah, I hear that. See how easy that is? They just flow into it. Now, I've been other places, and I'm looking around for somebody to praying in the Spirit. Let's see, I need an example here somewhere. Well, there isn't anybody. All right, well, here. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to pray in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. I don't mean any offense by that. I'm just saying I love being in Life Church and being in all our altars, our small groups, because everybody's praying in the Spirit. And so when people come in, well, that's what everyone's doing. Let me give you an example. Hadley Grace. No one ever prayed with her to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know what it'll be like with the rest of my children. I got a little bit of an idea, but no one ever prayed with her to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She started running around praying in the Spirit at 2, 3, 4 years old. Now, it was cute then. It was funny. She was just replicating what she heard from all of you at Life Church. She is a part of a body of believers who believes in the liberty of praying in the Spirit. And so when she came to church, all she heard was Papa praying in the Spirit, Grandma praying in the Spirit, Brother Kendrick praying in the Spirit, whoever's in the mic praying in the Spirit, Sister so-and-so praying in the Spirit. That's all she knew. And so when she played church at home, she prayed in the Spirit. And one day she was on the platform in the middle of church, and the choir began to, it was pre-service prayer, and the choir was worshiping God, and there was a powerful move of God, and all of a sudden I looked up, and she had her hands raised, and she was praying in the Holy Ghost with tears streaming down her face. Other people around her heard it, and it just became natural for her. That's how it ought to be when people come into Life Church and to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's easy because everybody's praying in the Spirit. There's a liberty to pray in the Spirit. And so when people come in and are ready to receive the Holy Ghost, there's a liberty to receive the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine walking into a church where nobody prays in the Spirit and then we're trying to get you to pray in the Spirit? Let that sink in for a minute. Nobody's praying in the Spirit. Everybody's praying with their understanding. And you got one guy up there with three people around him with his hands raised. Now, praying another language. You people are weird. So number three is you must obey. You must obey. So number one is repentance. Number two is faith. You have to believe that God's going to give you the Holy Ghost. And number three is obedience. God gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. If we're through those three, well, generally, I go through those three in order. The fourth one is just a given. Number four is you have to open your mouth. If I come up on somebody or I watch somebody praying for the Holy Ghost who's doing this, son, if you've been around me anytime at all at Life Church, I don't care if you've had the Holy Ghost for 20 years. If I come up on you and you're praying like this and God sent me to pray for you, I'm probably going to gently put my hand under your chin and just slowly tell you to lift your head up. Because your countenance changes. How do you, if how do you drink a glass of water that brings refreshing? A cold bottle of Gatorade, a cold Coke. How do you drink that with your head down like this and get any refreshment out of it? Let's see, I'm going to try to drink this bottle of Coke and I'm just going to pour it all down the front of me. It's impossible. If you're thirsty and you're hungry and someone puts a cold glass, one of them Mexican Cokes in your hand, and you just tip that thing back and you just let it just fill your mouth and head down your esophagus into your stomach. It's so refreshing. And when people come into the altar and they begin to lift their hands and they're seeking the refreshing of the Holy Ghost and they need God to fill them, they want God to change them, you can't do it with your head down. Probably just got real loud because I put my mouth down by the microphone. You got the point. Get your head up. Open your mouth up. You can't receive the Holy Ghost if this is all you're willing to do. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. It ain't going to work. And if I come upon somebody like that who's praying for the Holy Ghost, I'm going to stop them. And before I go through 1, 2, 3, I'm going to start at 4 and say, you know, if you want to see the Holy Ghost, which I believe you do, that's why you're up here praying. You want the Holy Ghost, right? Yes, I want the Holy Ghost. Okay, then you're going to need to open your mouth. And you're going to need to pray. you're going to need to speak out. Can you speak out? Do you have a voice? Yeah, I have a voice. Okay, I'm going to need you to speak out. I want you to tell God how much you love him. So number four, you got to be willing to open your mouth. Number five. This is probably the greatest understanding. To me, this is these other four things were powerful things, and they're stoppages to the flow. If you're not repenting, you're stopping the flow. If you don't have faith to believe that God's going to give you the Holy Ghost, you're stopping the flow. If you won't open your mouth and speak, and you're not obeying God, those things will stop the flow. But this is probably the most revelatory thing about praying people through the Holy Ghost. And this was the life-changing thing for me. Because up to this time, I don't know where I got this idea. I think it was from Acts chapter 2 and how it was relayed to me. Or maybe it was just how my finite mind saw it from a child on. But I got in my head somewhere that when you receive the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, at 26 or 27 years old, this was still my mentality. And if this is your mentality, my heart breaks for you, but God's going to set you free of that tonight, and you're going to have a new understanding moving forward, and it's going to change how you pray. It's going to change how you pray for others. But I believe that when I lifted my hands and began to pray and was ready to receive the Holy Ghost, that just like in the upper room, like a rushing mighty wind, that it was going to come and overtake me, and I would just suddenly go, I couldn't control myself. And so what I realized was all the times that I prayed for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's what I was waiting on. I was waiting on God to come down and overtake them, because that's really how I did it. I started to tell the story earlier and I stopped, but it's back, so I'm gonna say it. Remember the term we used to use back in the 80s and 90s, and some people still use it today. I don't use it anymore. You need to pray through. What does that mean? Well, what that meant, that's a Pentecostal term for if you don't pray in the Spirit, if you don't have a liberty to pray in the Spirit, then once or twice a year when the grandmothers of the church or the mothers of the church get a hold of you, that you say hallelujah, hallelujah, and praise God, praise God, until you finally got into praying in the Spirit. And so I would do that a few times a year. My mom, my aunt would get a hold of me, and they'd pray for me, and I'd cry, stammering lips, and then a few words get out, and then, phew, that's over. That was a 35-minute Sunday night altar call, and don't have to do that for a while. And we talked about praying through. My parents say, if I could just get them prayed through. Well, if you're spending time every day praying in the Spirit, and I don't understand what the term praying through means, but that was what we did. And so I literally would just like, I'd wail and lay on the altar and wail and cry, and I'd shake or do whatever I could do to try to get God to overtake me. Well, number five is, God doesn't speak in tongues. I speak in tongues. Here's what the scripture says in Acts chapter 2 in verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Does that sound like God coming down and overtaking them? No. He simply gave them the words to say. They had to open up their mouth and let the river out. And that's the difference. In my lack of understanding for years, I was trying to pray with people to get them to a place where God was going to overtake them. That was the challenge. When I shifted and I began to lead people to a place where they were going to have to speak the words that God was giving them, the words, the phrases, the syllables, the things that were going to come to them, that were going to want to come rushing out of their mouth, you can't allow that to pass through your mind. It's got to come straight out of your mouth. The scripture says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. When I got that understanding, generally that's one of the last things that I'll begin to talk to somebody about after a few minutes. And here's an analogy that I use. I use it all the time. And I'm telling you this. You could ask people this. It's probably one of the most easiest things to ask somebody when praying with them to receive the Holy Ghost, and it's the most eye-opening for them. I will generally ask them, after they've been praying for a few minutes, maybe we're 5 to 10 minutes into praying for the Holy Ghost, and they're still not there. The power of God is all over them. And they're still not there. They're not yielding. And you see it. Here's the other thing that I'll say. I won't put my hands on somebody's head until I believe that they're ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not putting my hands on their head to shake them around. I'm not even closing my eyes. Generally, when I'm praying with someone to receive the Holy Ghost, I'm standing a foot or two from them. I don't have my hands on them. I'm just talking to them, and my eyes are open. I'm watching them. I want to see what's going on. I want to see the Spirit of God moving on them. And then if I feel led to, I'll put my hands on them. I'll touch them. And when I touch them, it's a confirmation to them. I'll let them know, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm feeling what you're feeling right now. That's the Holy Ghost. If they're still not yielding, I can feel the Holy Ghost on them. They're still not yielding. I'll stop them. And I'll ask them, are there things trying to come out of your mouth? Are there words and phrases and syllables trying to come out of your mouth that you're suppressing? Yeah. That's the Holy Ghost. You got to let that out. Now let's pray again right now. Lift your hands. Here's the thing. Receiving the Holy Ghost for me for all these years was an emotional experience. Receiving the Holy Ghost is a spiritual experience that might have some emotion tied to it. I prayed somebody through the Holy Ghost one time that never shed a tear, never cried. They were sitting in a chair. They lifted their hands. They said, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. They began to pray in the Spirit. And they stopped and they opened their eyes. And I said, that was the Holy Ghost. Yeah, man, that feels incredible. Lift your hands. Let's do it again. And they lifted. They never shed a tear. It's a spiritual experience. We've turned it into, in Pentecost, we've turned it into an emotional experience. You have to cry. You have to jump. You have to scream. You have to run. You have to do something. So I try in this moment to get them to a place of understanding. You've got to let that out. And here's the wording that I'll use with people. You have to stop praying in English and make a conscious effort to start praying the utterance of the Spirit. Plain and simple. If you're going to receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to stop praying from here and start praying from right here. Here's the second thing that I'll say to them before we start praying again. I'll ask them, do you know anybody who speaks two languages? Most of the time they say, yeah. English, Spanish, English, Mandarin? Yeah. Have you ever wondered how they just go back and forth between two languages? Like one minute they're speaking Spanish, and the next minute they look at you and say, hey, come here. And then they're like, Los invitamos Iglesia, Jesus Cristo. You ever wonder how they do that? Oh, I never thought of it. They just choose, they make a conscious decision to stop speaking Spanish and start speaking English. So I was at a youth convention probably 7 or 8 years ago. It was in Richland. There was a young man there who was a foreign exchange student, I think from China. At the time, I don't know if he's still around or not, he was attending the church in Everett, and it was a powerful service that night. I was in the altar call. I just showed up for the last night, and I was walking along the front praying for some kids, and a young lady grabbed my arm, and she said, this young man wants the Holy Ghost. Well, I look like Jesus Christ. I always love that. You know, someone sees a preacher. We need a preacher to pray for them to receive the Holy Ghost. That is hogwash. There is nothing that I've said tonight that requires you to be a preacher to do. This is for the church. Anything that I have communicated to you tonight is for the body of Christ. This isn't for preachers. It isn't for pastors. It isn't for ministers. It's for the church. We've got to get this. So she grabs my arm. She sees a preacher. This young man needs the Holy Ghost. And she literally physically drags me over in front of him. And here I am with this kid. And I'm like, oh, what do I do now? And there's about five people standing around now. And they've stopped praying. They're looking at me. Meanwhile, the band's going, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. And I'm just staring at this kid. And he's staring at me. And I said, hey, what's your name? He told me his name. I said, I'm Nick. I said, do you want the Holy Ghost? He said, I want it real bad. I asked him if he'd repented of his sins. He said, yes, I believed him. I mean, he was in full-fledged, and this kid had been praying. And I looked at him, and I said, his name was Fook. I said, Fook, do you speak two languages? He said, yes, I do. I said, when you stop speaking, I think it was Mandarin or whatever he spoke. I said, when you stop speaking Mandarin and you start speaking English, how do you do that? And he goes, I just do it. I said, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost right now, but you just need to stop praying in English and start praying in the Spirit and what you're feeling wanting to come out of your innermost being. That's what you have to do. He said, okay. He lifted his hands in less than 30 seconds. He was speaking in tongues and was the power of God came over him. And somebody came to me afterwards. They said, oh, we're so thankful that you prayed for him. I said, that was the easiest person I've ever prayed with to receive the Holy Ghost. Because people who speak two languages get this. Us Americans, myself included, who only speak one, it's a challenge for us. But to people who have been raised speaking multiple languages, this is easy for them. If they were raised in a home that spoke Spanish most of the time, but they went to a school where they learned English, or they were in a home that spoke Tagalog or Mandarin or whatever, and then they learn English, they come to the United States. These people, it's so easy for them because the transition in their mind is already there. And so when I begin to say this to people, the light bulb goes off. It goes on, however you want to say it. The light goes on, the light goes off, and they're ready to receive it. And I'll just tell them, lift your hands again. If you haven't picked up on this, I'll stop and start people sometimes two or three times. Don't hear me tonight. Don't let somebody run off down some road doing something that's ridiculousness. And forgive me for saying that about receiving or praying for the Holy Ghost. But don't let somebody go down some road for 30 minutes doing something that's not going to be any benefit in the kingdom of God. Stop them. Put the brakes on. Just tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Man, God loves you. We're so glad you're here tonight. You're in the right place and you're hungry. I can sense a hunger in your heart. Can I talk to you about a couple of things real quick? Put a stop to it. Don't let somebody run off down some road that's just going to bring confusion to them. Don't pray with someone for hours and put somebody through all the paces. And then they walk out discouraged because, well, I guess it just wasn't my night. This is my time. So, repentance, faith to believe that God's going to give it to you, obedience, I've got to open my mouth. And God doesn't speak in tongues. I speak in tongues. I've got to yield my tongue to Him. I think that's why it's so easy for children to receive the Holy Ghost. It's easy for children to yield. They haven't built up years of stubbornness. And they're also usually not full of pride. It's pride oftentimes that holds us back in our adulthood. Well, I know that sounds weird. I don't want to say that. I don't want someone to hear me talking like that or praying like that. As I'm wrapping this up tonight, do you see the connection now between praying in the Spirit and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Now, somebody said to me one time in one of those certified altar worker seminars. By the way, in all the altar working seminars I ever went through, I never heard any of this stuff. Never. One of the things they said to us was, don't you dare speak in tongues around somebody seeking the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know what that meant. I wore that for years. Now, I would caution you how much you pray in the Spirit while praying for someone to receive the Holy Ghost. But man, once somebody begins, when they're right there and they're ready to receive it, there are oftentimes I'll just give way and I begin to let the Holy Ghost flow through me. I'm trusting God that my liberty, the liberty that He's given me, is going to be imparted to them. I'm going to leave you with this testimony and I'm finished for the night. And then we're going to pray. He'll have to forgive me later. But when I knew I was going to talk about this, it was the first testimony that came to my mind. Sister Pat and Brother Jared came into the church one day. You've heard their story. And they were here a year, year and a half or so. And I just assumed Brother Jared had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at some point in his life. And if I'm misstating this, he can correct me later. But there was one Sunday that I was right over there on the altar praying, and he was right beside me praying. And the Lord had prompted me to pray for him a couple different times, and I'd prayed some things over him while he was sitting in a chair back there while I was preaching one time. And I knew the hand of God was on the young man's life, and so I was there praying with him, and I was kneeled beside him. And that Sunday, Brother Heiner had preached about receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So he gave an altar call, and it was me and Brother Jared right up there. And I was praying for a few minutes, and I went to get up from the altar, and I realized that Jared was beside me. And so I remember reaching over and laying my hand on his back and praying for him, and the Holy Ghost prompted me to ask him this question. Do you have a liberty to pray in the Spirit? And he said, no, I don't. I don't remember how he said it, but he shook his head and said, no, I don't. I said, I'm going to lay my hands on you right now, and I'm going to pray for you. And God is going to give you a liberty to pray in the Spirit. I don't remember what else I said to him, but I laid my hand back on his back, and within, it was less than 2 minutes, a river of living water began to flow out of his vessel. Just like that. Now, again, at that point, I thought he'd received the baptism of the Holy Ghost before. I thought he told me later on, no, that was the first time I'd ever prayed in the Spirit. And we witness now the authority and the power that God has given him in prayer. I'm telling you, this is real. And God is wanting to use individuals in this. If you can, we're going to pray right now that God will let this become a part of our spiritual DNA. Because I'm telling you, these things, you don't have to have an altar. We prayed people through to the Holy Ghost in our front room. When we were having life groups, there were people that we would pray through to the Holy Ghost in our front room with nothing else going on. No music, nothing. Just prayer. Just, hey, lift your hands right now. We're going to pray. You don't have to have an orchestra to do this. You just have to have faith and be willing to open your mouth and communicate these things. Let me tell you this. The first time or two you do it, it might not be comfortable. But I'm going to pray for you tonight that God will give you boldness. That when you open your mouth to speak, that there's not going to be timidity or fear, but you're going to speak in the boldness of the Holy Ghost. And God is going to use individuals under the sound of my voice, even in this very week, to pray people through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's kids that are in houses under the sound of my voice right now that don't have the Holy Ghost. Parents, you ought to be praying your kids through to the Holy Ghost in these sessions. They're not having to rouse them out of Sunday school class and get them up here. You're not having to chase them across. They're in your front room. Lay hands on them. Pray for them. Talk them through this. Let God use you to see your children filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, every word that's been spoken has been by the inspiration of your Spirit tonight. I pray let your word go forth to the hearer. I pray let it be received. Father, I pray that this revelation understanding become a part of our DNA, our spiritual DNA. Let it become a part of who we are. Father, I pray that you would commission us as spiritual midwives in the earth, Father, that as we teach Bible studies, as we minister to coworkers, that Father, you would use us to bring people to an understanding of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then to a place of actually receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I speak your authority, Father, upon the church right now. I speak boldness in the Holy Ghost upon the church right now. In the name of Jesus. I take authority over fear right now that restrains us, fear that holds us back. And I pray, Father, you would liberate us. Liberate us in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, you would fill our children with the Holy Ghost in our homes, Father, in this season of time that we're gathering and receiving your word in our homes. Fill our children with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Let every person that lives among us, let every member of Life Church who has not yet received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, let them be filled with your Spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your greatness gift. In the name of Jesus, we acknowledge you as the source, Father. We acknowledge you as the giver of all good things tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday.